It is a great pleasure to welcome to the conversation Joan Abraham, author of Creating Brand Cool, Brand Distinction in the Online Marketplace. Joan has focused on the internet for just about nearly 3 decades now and has created new merchandising and marketing paradigms for branding in a global marketplace. Among her accomplishments are 2 1-hour specials for The Oprah Winfrey Show, the establishment of a network of video walls and shopping malls nationwide for advertisers, and online media campaigns for the Chrysler Corporation, NBC, ABC, and others. She is the head of a Style Branding, which she founded in 1996, and also recently retired after 25 years at Parsons School of Design in New York, where she taught e-commerce marketing and fashion branding. So, really looking forward to learning from you, Joni, in this conversation. Perhaps we could just start with the inspiration behind the book. What actually led you to write it?
As you so eloquently presented my background, I was two things. I was teaching at Parsons fashion marketing in a brand new, newly developed marketing department. The fashion and design schools back in the early 90s really were just starting to focus on design and fashion marketing. So I had this constant input of students from all over the world to develop the concepts of fashion marketing and branding. I was lucky enough to, I've been in the fashion industry my entire career since I was 25, which is a long time ago. I was born into it, and so very aware from a very early age. In 1984 and 85, I put on 2 1-hour fashion specials for the Oprah Winfrey Show. And I'm really quite proud of those productions. There's never been anything like it since for the public. It was local to Chicago, and the concept was to get Chicago retailers to advertise on ABC television. And Oprah had just come to town, so I was very lucky to have that opportunity and worked very closely with her. So it was a very exciting time in my life and for her too. She went national shortly after the show. So I had done this, and I was probably the very first attempt of putting fashion on video. And realizing that fashion is entertainment, the show was a real production. And it was very exciting, and it really presented the fashion of the season to the American public, what trends were fashionable, et cetera. And it was very well received, and they did one the following season as well. And it was also accomplished what they wanted it to. But what that did was make me realize that fashion could be very good entertainment programming. At the very same time, cable was coming in, and I knew the cable was going to need programming. And I thought to myself, you know, the Marshall Fields at now Macy's, but at that time, shooting video of the Marshall Fields fashion shoots would certainly be more entertaining or as entertaining as the weekly football games at the high schools in the neighborhood. So that's when I started my quest to put fashion on video as entertaining. And I was lucky enough in the late 90s, no, actually, I think it was 94, to present to Chrysler Corporation the idea of doing a sitcom where all the products in the show would be for sale, the home furnishings. And the show would be sponsored by Chrysler. So the idea was that Chrysler would get the benefit of this great style image. Bloomingdale's had signed off on supplying the merchandise for the set design and some of the wardrobing. And the idea was to let the public buy into this lifestyle, and this high-end hip lifestyle presented by Bloomingdale's would rub off on Chrysler. At the time, you would have had to call an 800 number to get the merchandise. And all of a sudden, the internet popped up. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting, because we could run this show as a regular sitcom. It was written by a well-known comedy writer who was Joan Rivers' writer for television. The scripts were wonderful and very funny, and exactly what I asked for. And timely today, I might add. And you could then buy everything on the website. And we could also enhance the environment on the website from the set design and the show by using the tools of the digital economy to create the environment. So that was in the 90s, and it was a combination of understanding the value of the internet and how it would help my television show that I had developed for Chrysler, which never really happened because it was 20 years too early. And then the students always kept my thinking alive and fresh as it related to the social channels, which is what all of this e-commerce marketing evolved into today. And I elaborated on that story for you because the idea is to share the thought process of seeing the tools that are now available in communicating with others publicly for retail or for whatever reason, but in doing it in a way where people listen to you and they want to listen to you. And that's the real challenge of the web today. So I had these lectures that I had been giving for 20 years, and 11 of them I was giving online because I had to leave New York and I moved to Detroit. And when I left New York, Parsons asked me if I would take my course with me because they didn't have anybody to teach e-commerce marketing at the time. I had developed the course for the school. I was teaching marketing and I was really getting excited about e-commerce and what was going on and watching this whole world develop, and asked if I could teach it. And I was lucky enough to have a department head who said, absolutely. And it was at the very beginning of everything. It was 1995 or six. So the students always kept me informed. You got to have young people around to really be in this world. I gave them the traditional concepts for fashion branding and how to think about fashion branding, and they kept me current. And then being exposed to these other elements, I could understand the value of fashion as a branding tool. So that is a very long answer to your question, but it shows you the thinking really behind the book. My idea was to share these stories and these techniques with the public, because today everybody wants a website. And I opened the book by saying, you know, anybody can join this bazaar, and it's worldwide. And if you've got something to say or sell or a service to sell, you can join the marketplace, but that also makes it a very noisy place. So the key is, how do you get heard and seen? And that's what the book is about.
And as you say, fashion is entertainment. I think that's one of the central ideas of the book. And I'd love to expand on that a little bit more, because as you say, the marketplace today is extremely crowded. It's really hard to stand out. So how do you think about this notion of fashion as entertainment, and how can brands really implement that today?
You know, John, it's a very interesting question, because I saw what was needed on the internet. And that was, I could take my fashion retail background And so I understood how to merchandise products. And fashion is, to me, a sense of style. And anything that has a style attitude about it will be noticed, good, bad, but not indifferent. I mean, and the book talks about, you know, how you develop that style and how you define that style and what it is that makes you unique before you even open the door. And, you know, once you define yourself, and I give you all these elements that can be used to define a brand today. Getting back to the question, I saw early on the shows for Oprah did it. I mean, the fact that I got to do these fashion shows on television was like the most exciting thing ever. I have pieces of it on my website. I have pieces of all my ideas, all the video stories, because I could see them all in my head and they were just 20 years ahead of the market. And it was fascinating how I got started with everything. And when you're young, you can push a lot of stuff through if you're passionate about it and the ideas make sense. Unfortunately for me, there was no market there because the technology wasn't fully developed yet and people could not grasp on to the ideas on the working level. But what I did is I spent a lot of time in the advertising industry, which is very different than the retail industry. And I understood what was needed from a branding point of view very officially and strategically. Fashion was about creating a sense of style and excitement and glamour. And the advertising business really taught me to think strategically. And at that time, e-commerce was getting more and more developed and social media started to take over. And social media is like having suburban branches to your department store, your website, because you can sell from a link anywhere you put a link. So you have to learn how to use the social channels to sell. So I took my retail merchandising effort, all of the information that I received from the advertising industry, and then realizing the entertainment value of fashion and trying to sell these mega shows to television networks and spots. I started off trying to sell them to sponsors. So I spent many years in the advertising industry going to the biggest brands because fashion done right is expensive. And it's all so powerful. I mean, visually, it's that show we did for Oprah back in 84 was so visually powerful. So you grab people's attention. And the more style things an environment has, the more attention it grabs, whatever that style statement is. You'll attract the audience you're appealing, the style you're appealing to. So I was very lucky to be privy to the entertainment industry in LA, trying to sell these programs to the networks, the TV networks. And I was heavy into the advertising agencies, trying to sell them to sponsors to advertise, but they were really built as sponsorship shows because they had such an enhanced stylized value to them that made them very attractive and appealing. That's how I got the idea for the Chrysler show to make it interactive. And the book is unique in that it shows the branding process from those three industries. So my son, who is a fabulous branding expert out in Portland, a creative director and a writer, and doing very interesting work, will learn something from the book because he's exposed to it much heavier than I am from an advertising perspective, but only through me has he ever been exposed to the fashion elements of the book. And I think that it will teach him things that he didn't know. So everyone from a high level marketing department of a multinational corporation down to a Susie Smith selling in her basement can really benefit from the book. And if you're in one of those industries, you'll certainly know many of the things that are in it. but I promise you, you'll learn new things that will spark your imagination in all new ways. And that's really what the book is about. And the whole idea is we haven't even begun to tap into what can be created visually and from an entertainment point of view, and this whole idea of immersive experiences through AI, all of that is just being tapped into. And understanding how to use all that and to sell from tools that are really more entertainment than they are selling tools or advertisements, and blending those elements in a whole new way. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Thank you. That's really great. Creating brand cool, it seems like such an elusive concept, you know, this notion of cool or true distinction. What are some key principles that you apply to enable a brand to actually achieve that, that brand stature where it's perceived in the marketplace as a cool brand?
It's not easy. And the book gives you the most, even as a small individual merchant, you will get ideas that you can use practicing your social media channels. Social media is absolutely critical for building brands for anybody because you own those channels. And it's taking traditional branding concepts, which I try and break down technically in the book. And I lead you to resources that can get you much more information about the technical elements for building brands and using social media effectively. And anybody can do it because the price of entry to social media is so affordable. The most important thing to branding is to sit down and understand exactly who you are as a product. And I say who very purposely, because you have to have a character and a personality that makes you unique, or why do I need you? And if you have something that you find distinctive, and there are so many tools in the book, it gives you the tools. You may back certain causes that become very important to a lot of people. Sustainability is really big today. It's really big in the fashion industry. All these brands are using sustainability and marketing themselves. That's cool. Young people want to buy things that are sustainable. You know, you create things that are desirable, and we have so much at our fingertips to create desirable content. And that's the entertainment factor. We've got millions of kids that are great writers. There's so much talent in this country. And I see the web and the internet as really allowing such an exploitation of talent. I've created these little stories that are meant to be delivered every single day. And they're 15 seconds, 20 seconds. The beginning ones were a minute. I realized they have to be down to 20 seconds. And my whole idea is to put a smile on your face every day when you see that story. And it takes a product and it makes a very interesting visual with the product. And it also tells you a story about characters who use that product. And I have felt so strongly about this because it incorporates all of the elements that's necessary today in communicating with the public. It entertains, it's unique entertainment, it's original storytelling. It shows the product in very interesting ways. These are all branding techniques. That's why I'm personalizing them. But these are all things that, you know, are things that make things cool. And the idea is like looking at a New Yorker cartoon every day, or just when you wake up, you know that there's going to be an email that puts a smile on your face. And it's just an it's a piece of entertainment. And then there's a link to the product that actually brought you that entertainment with a beautiful picture of the product. And the product can be from JCPenney, it can be from Armani, it can be anywhere. And you can use this technique with the right style and the right imagery and the right music and the right storytelling and the right characters. And you're going to entertain people. You have content for daily social content. You have website content, you have sales content. You can use this for promotions on your social content. It's what it's about today. So it's all about finding a way to communicate that makes people feel something. If they feel something, they will relate to you. And I always say things that are original in content, storytelling. That's why storytelling is a very big thing today. And people are thinking about it on a very big level because of Netflix and Amazon and all this content that I love and adore every single day. But, you know, I've incorporated the idea of entertainment in selling the product. Just like I told you about the television show for Chrysler, there's a little video on my website that explains the whole project and how it works and gives you a sense of the style and the attitude that it was created for Chrysler. And, you know, it gives you the shivers because it's just what everybody sort of aspires to, you know, and you try and keep it in reach. So it's the element of entertainment. It's the element of style. It's the element of, you know, understanding merchandising and appealing to people in an aspirational way. And I tell all these stories in the book so that you use these thoughts to create your own thoughts and to create these new ideas that haven't yet surfaced in the marketplace. Did that answer your question?
Yes. And I love the point about storytelling, because I feel like often today, with so much technology kind of all around us and so much innovation on the technology side, we often forget the underlying power of storytelling. And that's an old concept. I mean, you know, Disney's Jungle Book movie is still relevant today because of great storytelling. So how do you kind of combine those two elements, kind of using the latest and greatest technology, but also having a powerful storytelling?
There are all kinds of ways that you can do it. And oh my God, the answer to that question, I could go off in a million different directions. It's very funny. And I have examples of everything I'm talking about on my website. And many of them are, some of it is footage from the video walls, which I was very lucky to do. But again, I was so early that nobody had line items on their budgets for advertising. And, you know, forgive me, John, say that again. Would you mind?
If you could just elaborate a little bit more on storytelling and how you can use technology today to kind of, you know, make those stories powerful in all the different media that exist.
Oh, and I started to talk about my website. There are two directions to answer this. I've put together so many programs that are interactive for television, all different levels. Music videos can be created, which was something else I did for Cadillac back in the 90s when the internet was first starting to show this kind of content. And I told this wonderful story through the clothing. So in the malls, I told stories that were just slightly more promotional than advertisements. And the content was running with ads from commercials. It was the first place that national advertisers could ever run their commercials for television outside of television. There was no other place to run video commercials. So I had these great big 16 screen, video walls in malls across the country with this huge imagery, this gorgeous fashion imagery. I used the top fashion photographers, the top models in New York. I mean, nobody has ever done anything like this. And the models and the merchandise told the stories. And they're not commercials. When you look at my footage, you see a definite distinction between the promotion, and advertisers tell stories too, but there's too much emphasis on the sell. And the products that we've been developing, and the thing that I haven't seen very much of yet, is understanding how to skew the message more to entertainment than to sell. They have plenty of products that sell. I don't need to tell them how to put makeup on. I don't need, there's so much out there that does that. I need to show the product in an entertaining way. If you go to my website, not only will you see the stuff for the video walls, which was like very expensive and great fashion and all of that, and even the stuff I did for Oprah, which looks very expensive and was wonderful entertainment, my little vidbits are meant to be little bits because they are there every day to entertain you. So I can't spend $60,000 on every day. And when you do that, it's not really what's made for the medium. You can create something very expensive, but the medium doesn't demand that. The medium demands entertainment, interesting, something to catch my imagination, something to make me relate to your message. There, and using the tools in a new way, making it more entertainment driven is another category of content that is yet to be developed. And I think what we've been doing at Style Branding is the very beginning of finding young talent who are great writers and can tell stories. And I've experimented with so many different ways of doing it. I've done about 68 vidbits, and it's all using this new idea of mixing entertainment with the sell and telling a story and showing the product and making the product the star of the show and showing it in an entertaining, unique way. And all of the stories do that. And all of the stories put the merchandise in a very stylized environment. And I have merchandise from Target, and it looks like you'd never believe it was Target. When I did the shows for Oprah, I had Neiman Marcus on the runway with JCPenney, and you couldn't tell what was what. I put together little vidbits for JCPenney back in the 90s when they were just developing their website. I took their printed catalog, and I had a very good videographer who could move on movie Final Cut Pro that everybody has in their computers on those beautiful printed pictures that JCPenney put together for their catalog. And I did it by room. I had a bedroom, I had a kitchen, and I had a living room. And you would never know it was JCPenney. You would think it was Crate and Barrel. I put some great jazz music behind it. That was the story. It was 10 seconds long or 5 seconds long. And that was designed to run on ABC and send people to the JCPenney website where they could shop at home. And this was back in the 90s. So what I'm saying to you is, the storytelling can be done in all different ways. I tell stories through clothing and music. And now that with the vidbits, I also tell stories on top of all that. So I have a lot for people to look at and be amused by, which is very important for this next generation coming up. What's happened with the pandemic is all the ideas in the book, I mean, have happened over the last 20 years, and some of them are still very much, very relevant today. And not only that, because of the pandemic and everybody going online, so many of the ideas and the examples I give are talked about in today's world. So the book is very relevant and talks about things that everybody will be able to relate to as far as creating their own ideas and how to do it. But the idea, the other thing is fashion was a print medium. And the major brands spent fortunes telling stories in print that their brand was about. The book talks about Tom Ford. You look at some of his campaigns that he did for YSL and they were, whoa, but they were very exciting. And there are very few fashion companies who really understand how to use video. They use runway shows and they capture that in video, but they have to think of other ways to use fashion and style. And I hate to keep saying this, but on the website, Style Branding Inc., there are many ideas that I've tried to develop over the years for different brands. And there's enough of a storyboard to show you the ideas. And we have many more that, you know, are not on the website, but the future is really understanding who you are as a brand, what you can do that makes you distinct. What can you believe in besides your product? Because of the materials your product is made in, or the charities that you as a brand give to, or the different perks that you give your clients. It's almost time for us to give out one quick idea, just to give you an idea of thinking. Everything went online, and I had a wonderful conversation with the Guggenheim Museum. In fact, I met this young woman who's an educator with five different museums in New York, and she works very closely with the Guggenheim in setting up all these educational programs. Well, I got so excited about taking these programs into schools because it's all virtual. And we got some of that done. And then I went to a friend of mine who has a big fashion boutique in Houston. She works for this woman. My friend comes from Bergdorf Goodman, wanted to get married, moved to Houston. And she's going to bring these lectures into the store for the benefit of her customers, because they're these fabulous art lectures that are so relevant to people who are interested in art and culture. And it gives them an inside look with this educator from, you know, five different museums in New York, including the Guggenheim. So there are so many ways that you can market yourself today to make yourself distinctive. That's why I had to get that last story in. And if you videotape the story, you can put it on your website and it becomes part of who you are.
I'm wondering, are there any brands today that have particularly impressed you in terms of how they've kind of used the online marketplace to create that brand distinction for themselves?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. You know, listen, there's Nike and, you know, brands like that that are doing amazing things. I focus on fashion brands. They just had their collections. They had to do everything on video. They couldn't have live shows. They used to present their shows live to the public, to the press and buyers. I present to the public. They would do fashion shows to the press and buyers, which became huge entertainment for cable now. And it's the hot thing because, you know, all these celebrities go to the fashion shows and the fashion shows are gorgeous. You know, they're all the designer collections from New York and Paris and London and Milan. And I was really quite shocked because not many of them figured out how to do it. I will tell you, there is a brand who has done incredible work with branding like no other brand I've seen in this country. Well, Supreme is, you know, Supreme is unbelievable, but there's a brand, Shinola Watches, which you probably know of. Do you know about Shinola Watches?
Actually, no, I don't.
Oh, where are you?
Well, I'm actually based in Switzerland, so maybe that explains it.
Right, yes. Yeah, Switzerland, and I'm surprised in Switzerland that you haven't heard of Shinola because they're now global. They did the best branding campaigns ever. They used Detroit. They have they built their manufacturing studios, their assembly studios in downtown Detroit, which was totally desolate. But I've also been very involved in Detroit coming back, so I know what's going on down there. And Detroit is a hub for art and culture because of the cars. And they have built their brand on Detroit. You should check it out sometime. Detroit is a very cool city that Detroiters know about. And it used to be a royal city in the 60s because we put the world on wheels and we created Motown. So there's a whole sense of style and music in this town that's very unique. And Shinola capitalized on all of that in incorporating all of what makes Detroit cool in what they do. And they've taught inner city residents how to build their watches. They make turntables, they make bikes, they make leather goods now. They have hotels. They're selling merchandise from the hotels. But they're a great branding story. As far as there was one fashion show that I thought really did it right. There are very few people I feel that are properly exploiting the web. And if there are people that I don't know about and they want to let me know about it, I would love to know about it because all of the ideas that I've tried to develop to me are the future. The other thing that's going to be hugely a huge impact on the future is AI, artificial intelligence, and building scenarios, and shopping in those fantasies. I feel very strongly about that. And I've talked to Parsons has a significant AI laboratory, the second largest in the country. And I've had some discussions with them about this. And it's people, I think that's what's going to bring people back to malls. You know, you'll walk into an environment, you know. Right now, a North Face, you go into their some of their stores and you can go into this booth and feel what it's like to be in 50 degrees below zero and have their merchandise on and see if it keeps you warm. So, you know, it's already here in one degree, and it's going to become much more magnified, I think. I also think it's going to have a role in website design with big brands, with major brands.
Fascinating. Maybe just one last question before I let you go. I'm really wondering about the growing role of so-called influencers in social media and how the power, if you will, has shifted in terms of how brands build and sustain their relevance. What's your take on that role and you know how it affects the economics of brands?
Influencers are amazing elements. Amazing. They are a sign of the times, and they're young kids who are smart enough to capitalize on their knowledge of the technology. And I mean, style is so important in branding. And if an influencer has a very distinct style and it relates to your brand, that influencer brings you an audience that you could never imagine, you know, hundreds of thousands. And, you know, people really, you know, they have their influencers and those are their style Sherpas. And, you know, you don't need my mother to teach you about style. You don't need, you know, you can follow an influencer that you really relate to, and you then incorporate that to be your own way of being and presenting yourself. And if there are influencers that relate to your brand in some way, because there's influencers for everything, hooking up with them is very smart. I mean, Nordstrom's is hiring influencers design clothing for them, and they're not alone in that. That's a very that's becoming a very popular thing today. They have such a huge following, you know, that just getting your, it's like advertising on television, you know, that's what an influencer is. And it's all about style. And it shows you how important style is, and how influential it is. I mean, these kids are, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The ones who really understand what they're doing and how they can move a market.
And I guess the more...
You asked me about... Did you ask me about something else besides influencers?
No, just to really understand their role better. And I guess based on what you just said, it sounds like the more niche an influencer is, the more relevant that influencer can be to that kind of a niche brand.
100% right. The more niche, the more distinct. And the more distinct, the more unique. So that's the key. What do you do that makes people want to come to you? And that's your challenge. It's not just putting the thing out there. It's not just putting it on a model. You're doing all of that. You're making it move. The good websites are really good as far as merchandising and selling. I'm talking about ready-to-wear, which I'm mostly familiar with. And even, you know, Amazon's unbelievable. And all of that is necessary too. But the web is where it's at. And I've been saying this since 1995, because you have a global audience and nothing beats that. So why more retailers are not putting more money into their websites instead of building stores, I will never understand. But the future, you can have stores, but you need like have three stores, five stores, and you don't need a lot of stores. You'll make so much more money if you put it into your website and having a global audience and understanding how to connect with them. The pandemic was really quite incredible in creating a community and changing every industry, you know, everything. And just to watch all that happen. And it just made the book more and more relevant. It was so exciting to me, I can't tell you. But the whole idea of community, that is going to be a real focus going forward because of technology. And communities are global. You know, I've been wondering why aren't schools, you know, exchanging information with schools all over the world, you know? There's so much of our lives that are going to be global and are global. And I think that's a really good way of thinking because it connects us.
Absolutely. Well, Joni, this has been terrific. I really appreciate your time and your insights. This is a fascinating topic and I'm sure we could go on, but I would recommend your book to everyone who is interested in learning more.
Thank you. I so appreciate it. It's been a long time since I've talked about it, since I'm not teaching anymore. And I really appreciate the questions and what it brought out from me. Can I ask you, is there any way I can get a copy of this recording?
Oh, absolutely. I'll share it with you as soon as we have it up.
Thank you so much, John. And if there's anything else, the event is in June?
That's correct. Yes, yes. We'll be releasing these in June so that folks can purchase their summer reading for the beach.
Oh, for the beach. Well, this is almost a beach read. I have a lot of good stories in there.
Well, for some folks it is. You know, we're more of a professional community, so I think... Our kinds of members enjoy these kinds of nonfiction books.
Oh, well, you know, I have to tell you, it was a labor, and it was a labor of love, and it was my lectures, which I loved, you know, sharing with the students and revising every semester. And I realized that the knowledge is so valuable today. And I love the fashion industry, and the fashion industry is so powerful. And the exploiting fashion partners and fashion and style is just now becoming very marketable. And I think that's what really makes the book unique. You know, the publisher said to me, what makes you unique from all the other thousands of branding books? And it's the fashion and stylized perspective of getting noticed, you know?
Absolutely. Well, for everyone listening, the book again is Creating Brand Cool, Brand Distinction in the Online Marketplace by Joan Abraham. Thank you so much once again. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, John. Nice meeting you.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.